moved on down to Asheville. Hello, folks. I'm Nick Knack Jack, and this is FS Ride Along. This will be Season 7, Episode 9, and I'm calling this one Now Entering the Triple Sim World, because I am now actively using all three sims. As I go through my sim time and sim experience, still generally simming less than I was before. I'm trying to get my average daily block time down. At last calculated average, which was as of yesterday, and I flew today, so I need to update the number again. But at last calculated, over the 905 days that I've been keeping score with Project Fly and Volanta, however you pronounce that, the Orbix flight tracking thing, I am now averaging 6.26 hours daily. And I started logging that time on November 4th, 2018. My average flight length is 4.67 hours. So I'm trying to get both the average daily block time and the average flight length down. Part of doing that, part of my approach to doing that is to do more GA flights and obviously do more short haul than long haul. Because the average is a function of the fact that, I do a ton of, you know, flights that are, you know, 9 hours or more, and then a few flights that are, you know, 3 hours or less. That's the way averages skew things. But anyway, enough fun with math. Well, that's not true, because my notes next say, looking at my build and the way things are going with my computer, which is host to all three sims, my three sims being now Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020, X-Plane 11, and P3D version 4.5, I am using 32% of my theoretical storage capacity. I have a storage capacity on there of 3.5 terabytes, so, you know, using 32% of that is not bad, considering I have a lot of Orbix add-ons installed, and across all three sims, I have, in total, 83 add-ons installed. So, it's not just the three base sims, it's all the stuff that goes along with it that makes the three base sims usable. So my plan going forward is to begin the slow phase out of P3D. I emphasize the word slow because it is, of course, going to take a while for PMDG and Flight Sim Labs and Quality Wings and the like to reduce to release airliners for Microsoft Flight Simulator, but I know it will eventually happen, so that's why I emphasize the word slow. I've been making a point, especially the last couple days, to use X-Plane more for G1000 hand flying work. It does strike me, especially after the leg I did last night in the Diamond DA-20, that trying to do hand flying and traffic pattern work and that sort of thing without track IR or similar technology is pretty foolhardy and challenging. So track IR is going on towards the top of my simulator wish list things. As far as the actual flying goes, recently, I think I've talked about it in previous episodes, my recent flying, I did a 737 NGU, PMDG 737 NGU leg from San Francisco to Seattle, which is standard for me. Had the scenery layering issues in V4, which I mentioned, which I think I fixed. And then I did another 737 NGU leg from Seattle to Juneau to enjoy the fact that I bought Orbix's scenery for the Alaska, Southern Alaska region, and the Juneau airport, and that was pretty good. So after that, I went on and did several flights in Microsoft Flight Simulator in the DA-40. I talked about that last time. Made my way all the way down from Juneau to Boeing Field in Seattle via Sitka and Port Hardy. Even with the working title G-1000, I did run into some issues. Part of it is trying to figure out how to most optimally load the flight plan in there. You know, when I'm using X-Plane, I, you know, do it all by hand within the system. But when I'm using Microsoft Flight Simulator, I've tried both doing it by hand and doing it via the Microsoft Flight Simulator flight planning interface system. Neither have resulted in very good consistent results, so I'm still trying to figure out the best way to approach that. The DA-40 stuff I've talked about. More recently, I got back into a couple, three X-Plane 11 legs. I flew the Torx Semester 22 and the DA-20 that's available via the X-Plane.org store. Both are pretty good airplanes, I must say, especially the Torx Semester 22. Beautiful airplane. Very good engine simulations, and the G-1000, the default X-Plane G-1000 modifications that Torx Sim has made to make it more Cirrus-like work pretty well. There's a few little things, but overall they work pretty well. So, you know, the bulk of your time, or the time that I've spent flying the Torx Sim SR-22 is, you know, your bulk of your energy is spent on energy management, or engine management, rather, monitoring the cylinder head temperature and your exhaust gas temperature, you know, leading the aircraft for altitude, and, of course, flight planning and autopilot management through the G-1000. That's the sort of thing I'd like to do. It's basically the GA, as close as GA gets to the type of capability, automated capabilities that are available in the modern airliner. So that's why I like that approach, because I prefer automated system management style flying as opposed to hand flying. That said, though, I did take the DA-20. So my first SR-22 leg was from Boeing Field in Seattle to Portland Troutdale. I would have flown to Portland International, but I had forgotten to install the scenery from Flight Beam for Portland International for X-Plane. So when I did the leg, I just went right next door to Troutdale, and landing didn't go too well. I realized I had to relearn my X-Plane 11 landing skills again, because X-Plane 11 physics are quite realistic, and you have to adjust to that after flying in P3D and Microsoft Flight Simulator for years. So that does take some adjustment. The next leg I did was in the DA-20 from Troutdale down to Corvallis, Oregon. I usually fly down to Eugene, so flying down to Corvallis just seems like, okay, you know, it's slightly closer and it's slightly different. I hand flew all the way as far as pattern entry and exit and takeoff and landing coordination and all that went, though. The work needs to be done. And I must say, you know, hats off to pilots, both virtual and real world, that hand fly most of the time, because it takes a lot of work and it is tiring. It was, quite honestly, the most challenging hour and 5 minutes of flying I've done in quite a long time. So, as much as that's not my preferred style of flying, that is something that I aim to do more to, you know, get those hand flying skills back up to snuff. And then today, the final recent leg I did was from Corvallis down to Crescent City, California, flying along the coast, went up to, I think it was 9,000 feet in the SR-22 again. That went much better as far as G-1000s went. You know, spending most of my energy again managing the exhaust gas temperature, cylinder head temperature readouts, and then making sure the aircraft was leaned appropriately. I used 23 gallons of fuel for the flight, calculated that based on the FBO price at Corvallis to be about $125 worth of fuel, so not a cheap little flight when you measure it by real world realities and where you have to pay for fuel. So that was helpful to keep in mind. I leaned it out, as I recall, to about 13.6 gallons an hour, and was getting about 155 knots over the ground, so it wasn't too bad of a leg. The landing went well. That was the good news. The landing, let's see, if I look at the launch, there was no bouncing. That was the part, that's where I tend to have problems, and I explain if I rush the landing or if I'm just not careful enough. It's all about, you know, subtleties in the controls. As far as the vitals for the landing, according to Volanta, the SR-22 landing into Crescent City was 80 feet a minute, so a little hard, 1.23 Gs, so again, a little hard, but not horrid. Relative to my first SR-22 landing, coming into Troutdale, which clocked in at 171 feet a minute and 2.32 Gs, so that definitely would have broken something. For reference, my landing, airspeed, in the SR-22 going into Troutdale was 74 knots, and my airspeed on touchdown going into Crescent City was 61 knots, so airspeed has a great deal to do with it. And, while we're here, the DA-20 leg, the landing there, there was a little bit of a skip to it, as I recall, G-force was 1.25, so not terrible. Landing speed, 40 knots. Your approach speed in that airplane is 55 knots, so maybe a little on the slow side. Sink rate was 58.57 feet a minute, so that's the vitals on that. Looking at my last couple legs, the block time on the DA-20 leg was an hour and 22 minutes, an hour and 5 in the air. And the block time on the SR-22 leg today was an hour and 29. And Boeingfield to Troutdale was an hour in the air and an hour 15 gate to gate. So, you know, I did this over, I think, 2 days. So, you know, again, trying to spread these legs out, trying to reduce my overall time. on the legs and in the air. And, you know, also, of course, you know, with the Torx MSR-22, you've got the integrated checklist. When I was flying the DA-20, I had the POH out and was using the checklist. So trying to be as realistic as possible, you know, within my capabilities, and trying to, again, improve my skills here. Because, you know, honestly, when you're doing long-haul airliner stuff all the time, not only does it get boring, but you lose those hand-flying skills. So hence the reason that I've been trying to do more GA recently. And on that score, looking at my flight log here, according to Volanta, my last airliner leg was April 23rd. So all the flying I've done since April 23rd has been GA, and that has consisted of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 legs. So that's not bad. And if I look at my aircraft utilization in Volanta, the most flights I've done still, even though previous to a couple of days ago, I hadn't flown the SR-22 since January. Logging in Volanta anyway, and I've been using Volanta since December 9th of last year. I've logged the most flights in the SR-22, 17 flights, consisting of 32 hours. My next most used airplane is the 787-8 at 14 flights and 157 hours. So there, right there in those statistics, you can see the difference between long haul and short haul. And incidentally, my third most used airplane, as far as Volanta is concerned, is DA-40 with 21 hours and 11 flights. So, you know, it takes a while to change averages, it takes a while to change flying trends, it takes a while to learn things, but I think I am making progress in my sim experience, and I am eventually going to figure out the best way to approach having three sims, and having, you know, each sim be kind of good at a different thing. You know, P3D obviously is still king of the mountain as far as airliner flying goes until PMDG and Quality Wings and Hus Labs come to Microsoft Flight Simulator. That'll be the case. You know, if you want to do G1000 stuff, X-Plane is the way to go, absolutely. And Microsoft Flight Simulator, you know, it's an emerging technology. That's the best way to say it. And I'm holding out my optimism that it'll merge and it'll get better as time goes forward. So that's where I am with things. I am still looking forward to that Flight Sim Association web stream this Saturday at 11 Pacific, 1800 Zulu, talking about the future of X-Planes. So I am looking forward to that. Other notes, if you are new to Flight Sim and want to support me, check out my Flight Sim service offerings. Link, it will be in the show notes. The most direct way to get there is knickknackjack.net and click on Flight Sim services, and you'll learn all about that. You can also use the website, either fsridealong.com or knickknackjack.net, to make donations and support the podcast. And, of course, you can leave reviews in your favorite podcatching service. Please be nice and provide constructive criticism rather than destructive criticism, because I have a fragile ego. The FS Ridealong website is made possible by Simply Magpie. Check them out at simplymagpie.co.uk. Link will also be in the show notes. And again, if you have feedback, send me an email, nicnacjak@gmail.com. Leave a comment on fsridealong.com or your favorite podcatcher. And until next time, happy landings. Bye. Catch me if you can. I'm running hard without a gun before I land. So catch me if you can. I'm on the plots, my hat pulled down with a bottle in my bag. I'm on the boat against the rail with the wind against my back. I'm on the road, the open road, with my thumb outstretched from my hand. So catch me.